Hi, everybody. I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio. And with me is another New Jersey guy. It seems like all the guys from New Jersey all of a sudden, Pete, are just doing an outstanding job. Pete Glusick. And, you know, it seems like all of a sudden here, New Jersey's found a little home in bass fishing.
Well, you know, New Jersey anglers, I think, are very good and talented for a couple of different reasons. We have three different types of bodies of water in New Jersey, which we have to solve in order to have success in the tournament trail. We've got natural lakes, we've got reservoirs, and we've got tidal rivers. So being a competitor from New Jersey, you're automatically very versatile. So I think it's really starting to show in a lot of the federation tournaments, and certainly now that we have the Classic Champ.
Well, yeah, that's right. Mike Iaconelli had a great year this year, you know. And you look and you think about New Jersey, you know, most of the people across the country, they hear the name New Jersey and they think it's all concrete and big, tall buildings. But in reality, you got some good fisheries there.
We've got some great fisheries. We've got natural lakes. They're glacial lakes up in the northern part of the state. And then on the southern part, we have shallow, tannic water type lakes. And then we have tidal rivers coming through it. But we do have a lot of industry. And, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Bass is a very adaptable creature, and he's made a home right there inside the city of Philadelphia and Camden, New Jersey. And we catch fish on barge systems, on concrete piles, and you'd be amazed at what the fish will use. I catch spawning fish suspended in 30 feet of water on cross members of trusses. So there's some very complicated and interesting structure once you get used to fishing that kind of stuff. But we are the Garden State, and a lot of people forget that. And where I live and where Iaconelli lives, we live in the southern part of the state where there's still farm fields, still rural, still very beautiful down there. So there's a lot of great fishing in New Jersey, and you know, the industry is there to stay. That's not going anywhere, but the bass have adapted to it, and I've adapted to it too.
You talk about brackish water, and a lot of people may not know it's kind of a combination freshwater, saltwater situation, sometimes very tannic. You know, how are the barnacles? I mean, do you have to fish against that, and what type of line structure and some of those kind of things? Do you have to adapt to that?
Without a doubt, barnacles are a fact of life when any time you're fishing around the Chesapeake and the Delaware River and the Hudson, and we fish all these places, and you have to account for that. And you have to, one of the things that you have to do is you have to present to the cover a little bit differently than you would normally do. There's no throwing over limbs when you're dealing with barnacles. That's just a recipe for disaster, and you've got to thicken your lineup. You might have to go from 17 up to 25 and even 30-pound test when you're flipping and using that kind of stuff, and go real easy when landing fish. If you've hooked your fish around barnacles, you got to be careful. You don't want to force that fish too hard when he gets close to the boat. Okay. So you fish a lot differently. But one of the interesting things about salt water that I find is that fish live in it. Bass, you can actually catch bass well into the brackish line, and it's amazing. We've had tournaments where we've weighed smallmouth in, like for instance, way down on the Chesapeake, and released them and tagged them, and they've swam 10 miles through pure salt water to get back to the original place where you caught them. So fish have tolerance for salt water. A lot of people get scared off by that, but largemouth and smallmouth, they'll live and they'll feed in that salt water zone. So, you know, I've gotten real good at fishing those areas, and tidal water is one of my specialties. So I love to fish around tidal water. A lot of people get confused by it. I find tidal water to be some of the most predictable fishing there is once you learn a few basic concepts about it. So I feel right at home in the tidal water fishing.
Well, let's talk. I mean, you know, now you're out on the trail. You're fishing all over the country. You're doing all the things that you do as a tournament angler that does it professionally. And, you know, the adaptability of taking that tidal water system or maybe that thing where you're in New Jersey fishing, how is that? Has that played well into your you know, success, or is that more of a thing that, you know, you're having to adapt?
Well, one of the things that I really had to get good at was fishing these massive southern impoundments. And that was the one thing that I really wasn't prepared for when I started fishing professionally. And that's most of our tournaments. But having the background of having to adjust constantly with the tides has certainly helped me and made me a better fisherman out there on the trail.
Well, the northeastern part of the country, all of a sudden, you know, you got Terry Baxay, who's been out there a long time, you know, and he's up from a little bit farther north than you. But then you've got, you know, Mike, who you mentioned, yourself. There's been a lot of anglers that have come from that part of the country and had great success.
Yeah, there is a good core group of anglers from the north, but you know, we're seeing more and more all the time, and I'm so excited about that. And I think, you know, Mike and I have really helped pave that way, and that makes me feel good about the sport, because what they do is they see, you know, the success of being able to win national tournaments. Guys from the north can make the Classic. Now guys from the north can win the Classic. So it really, you know, it feeds people with confidence, and you're seeing more and more guys from New Jersey showing up in the professional ranks, and you're going to constantly see more and more of that as time goes on, and that really excites me. And I love to see the people from the North get into it. It's been a sport that's really dominated by anglers from Georgia and Alabama and Florida and Texas. And we have some of the greatest fishing in the entire world up in the northeastern part of the country with Lake Champlain, Lake Ontario, Erie, all these Finger Lakes and Maine, and all these rocky, deep glacial lakes with giant largemouth and giant smallmouth. And we've got some really skilled anglers up there, and we're starting to shine. So that's good to see.
Well, it's absolutely great to see. And, you know, if the sport's to grow, then we got to do things like that and have the whole entire country as a part of it. You know, there's only one state in the whole United States that doesn't have largemouth bass, and that's Alaska. Mm-hmm. So you start thinking about that, and we need to grow the population of anglers as well.
Yeah, I think so. And one of the things that I like to do is I like to get with the kids, and that's a big part of it. I'm fortunate. My father took me fishing when I was 4 years old, and it changed my life. Now I fish for a living. I spend almost third of my year or fourth of my or more than that fishing. And I feel very lucky. So I try to give back, and I try to take those kids fishing and get involved in the Casting Kids programs and get involved in the charity events that revolve around inner city kids and give them a chance to get out there and get exposed to a sport that I love so much. And I think that's going to be great for them because it's been so great for me. And it does things from keeping kids out of trouble to teaching them a wholesome activity to giving them a skill that they're going to enjoy and make their life richer for the rest of their lives. So I'm happy to do that and happy to give back as much as I can.
Well, let's talk about your season. I know it's not been one that you were maybe the happiest with, but it's still one that you learned from, I'm sure.
Well, without a doubt, this year was one of my worst finishes, and I made some mistakes this year. And what I did was I had a bad tournament early, and I decided to swing for the bleachers every tournament after that. And when you swing for the bleachers, sometimes you miss. And I missed a few times, and it wound up in the point standings, not really having my worst season. But one of the really neat things about this year is we have an off season, and that's brand new to our sport. We've always gone from month to month, constantly fishing tournaments, and now we have an off season, and it's given me time to reflect on my mistakes and my successes, not only this past season, but in previous seasons. Because we're so busy, we don't have a lot of time to go back and chew on all that stuff that we've learned or mistakes we've made over the years. So I'm actually I have an organized boat. It's well kept and maintained. My Evinrude direct injection motor is all glistening and shiny, and it's everything's organized. I might be do worse now because I'm going to be so organized I won't know what to do about it. But the off season to me has been wonderful. I've actually rehashed my successes and how I practice for those successes, like when I win tournaments or get top tens. And that's huge because practice really dictates everything in our sport. And when you go back and you look at how you practiced and won and wound up winning that tournament, that's key. Most people just look at how they won the tournament. But the practice rounds are what makes everything so special. So I'm going back and looking at that. I'm re-strategizing how I'm going to go about fishing. Like I told you, I swung for the bleachers a lot this year. And sometimes that's great, and that might give you a chance to win. Sometimes you got to know when to be conservative, and you got to know when to open up. And that's also key. So for me, the off season's great. I had a bad season this year, but fishing's mentally, when you get all the anglers with the same skill sets, it's just like any other sport. Whoever's the most tough mentally and makes the best decisions mentally are going to be the guys that are going to rise to the top. And that's one of my strengths, is being able to make decisions and be able to learn from my mistakes. So, I've spent a lot of time this offseason getting that done. So to be flat out honest with you, I am itching. I'm shaking, so excited about this season coming up in January. I can't wait to get back out there.
I got one final thing. The New Jersey connection comes one step further with BassFan.com, and that's where Jay Kumar is his residence is at. And we look at the birthplace of that for BassFan.com. That's also a good deal, I think.
It's a great deal. BassFan's been wonderful. It's such a unique website. It's actually one of the neatest websites out there because it gets inside the sport. It talks to me as a professional, and that's great. I'm sometimes the guy that's given the advice on how to write a story or how to use a certain bait, but I go to BassFan to find out other things, the things that you just don't see anywhere. Like what Brower's thinking about when he's out there, and how Rick Klun is mentally preparing for something. I mean, these are things that are just never been written about too much in the past, and I'm excited about it. I'm one of those 7 million hits a month. You get me every time.
I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio.